wondrous childhood, he would obey.
Beloved in Christ, at this time, let it be our delight to read and mark in Holy Scripture the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience unto the glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child. But first, let us pray for the needs of the whole world, for the church throughout the world, those in authority in the church and in the world, for missionaries, for this neighborhood and town. Let us remember in his name the poor and helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus or love him not, and all who by sin have grieved his heart of love. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven, joining together in the words which Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Pew Bible, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 18 through 15. It's going to be found on your Pew Bible on page 3, in your large print Bible on page 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." The Lord God said to him, How did you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring and your offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second lesson is in Genesis 22, verse 15 to 18 in your pew Bible on page 16, a large print 18. "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The third lesson can be found in your pew Bible on page 573 and in the large print Bible on page 729. The third lesson is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verses 6 and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lesson is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, in the Pew Bible, page 575, and in the large print, page 732. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fifth lesson is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, found in your pew Bible on page 855, and the large print Bible on page 1088. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in your old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The sixth lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 857 and in the large print on 1090. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The eighth lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 807, or in your large print on page 1026. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God.
Tonight's lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 886 or in your large print on page 1127. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
It's really hard not to even think of clapping, so I'm not going to let you do that. But you, in your heart, you can, you know, clap wildly there. Can I turn this on? So as the choir has been practicing all month, and my children have been singing this glorious music, I have been continuing with my hobby, which is to read about strange activities, the strange things that people do online. We can't all be really cultured all the time. So my current fascination has been with something called an Instagram influencer. Does anybody know what this kind of person is? Surely some of us do. A few years ago, maybe even last year, the word influencer wasn't a word. There was a, you could have influence over something by coming up with an interesting idea or studying a topic, becoming an expert, writing a book. But now, if you are very tall and thin and you have the right assortment of tattoos in the right way, and if you're very assiduous in curating your Instagram top nine, which if you don't know what that is, you can just go Google it, then you might be able to become an influencer, a person who a lifestyle company will offer products to, like maybe lip gloss, and in exchange for wearing the gloss, the company makes money off of your influencing reputation. So that's just the baseline. What if you want to be an Instagram influencer, but nobody knows who you are? In that case, you can go online and pay somebody with some kind of bot situation to like your posts thousands and thousands of times, so that you can then influence people the way that you rightly should be able to. People will gradually see that you're someone to follow, even though that mechanism is itself fake, and then they will become influencers. It's a circle. So one of the cool things you can do while your children are singing beautiful music is to read long stories on the web about people trying to poke holes in the Instagram influencing genre. So you control Instagram influencers online. You can accuse them of privilege. You can try to show how their lives are not as great as they're claiming to be. And you can read the piles and piles of articles that other people write reporting on this trend. Don't judge me. We all have our little vice. Right? And it's Christmas. I need a way out of my stress. One thing that's so nice, I think, is to look at the high and exalted of this world, the lavish lifestyles of people, their habits, the people who claim to have it all, and then go back and look at the occasion of Jesus' birth. The curious thing about God's solution to all of our little troubles and problems is how shabby his solution looks on the surface. We have cleaned up beautifully this afternoon. My children all bathed, so that was pretty amazing. And we have this gorgeous music and a beautiful church. We've brought our best here this afternoon, and I hope somebody will try putting it online later. The texts we've heard today are also not shabby. They're not by any means dull. On the contrary, the texts we've just heard are stately in their cadence. It is almost impossible, I think, to surpass the restrained beauty of the infancy narratives of Christ's birth. However many times you hear their well-worn, their beloved lines, they don't grow old. For me, they never, ever lose their luster. I can read them over and over again. But in reading them over and over, They can roll over and through you, and your inner ear can miss some of the jarring details that we've heard expressed this afternoon. The word enmity, which elsewhere we might call hatred, between her offspring and his offspring. The not withholding of the son, which is a gentle way of saying that Abraham was willing to kill Isaac. The people walking in darkness, which sounds sort of elegant, except that walking in true darkness is a terrifying and dangerous thing to do. The stump of Jesse, which we've had Jesse trees. It's a lovely thing, the stump of Jesse. But think about a stump, which is a tragic picture, the violent cutting down of a big and glorious tree, so that the sky is left stark and naked, and the ground is ruined and bare. The phrase being troubled, the visit of an angelic being who, in a few words, has the power to overturn the course of a whole life. The phrase, no place in the inn, at a time when the body kicks into gear and the contractions of labor follow inexorably one upon the other. In this way, God insists that we put our eyes on the kinds of situations we would rather not ever think about, let alone face, and certainly not the kinds of situations that we associate with the Christmas season. Christmas, if you look at it in the world, is manifestly not about inconvenience or tragedy or the trouble of this life or any of the things that we work so hard all year long to run away from or gloss over with a better filter or a lens or even pretend is not even here or doesn't exist. When I snap a picture of my lovely mocha latte or later Instagram my children in their beautiful choir robes, which I am going to do, and then put a hashtag on it, which I also will do later, I am saying to myself and to the world that I have the power to arrange, to craft, to organize my life, to push the sorrow and the sickness and the trouble to the outer margins so that they're almost not even there. Whereas the way that Jesus comes into the world says a great deal, says everything, in fact, about the reality of my true estate. He comes to us where we are, which is something that Christians like to say to each other, I want to meet you where you are, or meet me where I am. When I say that, I don't really mean it. I want you to meet me where I imagine myself to be, on top of a beautiful mountain in a yoga pose, in a beautiful house with no clutter and perfect lighting, strolling along by the sea, decorated by a luminous sunset that glints off my perfectly dyed hair. It is humiliating for God to meet us where we are, in the dark, in an out-of-the-way town with no electricity, no running water, isolated from the kind of relationships that we know we need in our lives. In the dark, really. The incarnation is the anti-influence. It cuts through the pretense, the lie, that life and that we are really okay. It is we who are shabby, pathetic, lying about who we are and how beautiful we can make our lives. In other words, God did not give John the beautiful prologue at the beginning of his gospel, which we heard last, that grand, that stately poetry about joining himself to us. He didn't give that to us as a reflection of us. Rather, he used it as the basis, and then he illustrated the words, the poetry, with the inconvenience, the humiliation, the suffering, the trauma of an actual birth. His own precarious and ruinous journey to our shabby and unflattering humanity. He endured the close, narrow world of the womb. He had his mother and father go on trips they could not afford, both in time and money, and certainly not in hassle and mental health. He rousted them in the middle of the night to flee from the brutality of Herod. He made them to be strangers in a strange land, even when they went home to their own familial community. Those people no longer had any use or time for them. Who am I? That is the question of our age. And we are invited to craft an answer to that question. It doesn't matter what the answer is. What matters is that I search for it and that I find it and then I show it to you. If I do that, I will not have lived in vain. But in searching and finding the answer to that question, we traverse farther and farther into the darkness, into the place where no lens or filter has any power. But God, who sees everything, who sees our condition, by his very incarnation, his descent into the darkness itself, pokes a hole so large through my story that the light can finally flood in. He shows me the true estate of myself. And in the light, what do I finally see? What do my eyes really behold? They are lifted from myself and all my troubles onto the most fantastical sight in the cosmos, a baby who grows into a man who does what we don't even want to face, which is to take on our greatest enemy, sin and death, crush him under his heel. Stepping into the place of Isaac, springing up from the stump, a righteous, green, glorious shoot, with branches strong enough to shelter every thirsty and exhausted traveler, to be the innermost comfort for the troubled and most anxious mind, to be the place, the room, into which all of us may come and find light and hope. Which, no matter which way you look at it, is the most beautiful thing in the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Yes.
Let us pray. O God, you have caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that we who have known the revelation of that light on earth may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. May he who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly fill you with the sweetness of inward peace and goodwill, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.